It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
KFI AM 640, you have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show, and this is the time I am taking your calls. The phone number is 1-800-520-1KFI. That's 1-800-520-1534. Hey, producer Kayla, do we have any callers yet?
We do. We have Carol, and she has a question for you.
Okay. Hi, Carol. It's Dr. Wendy.
Wendy, how are we going to get this word across to people? All of your listeners out there, that we've got to start being honest with ourselves so that we can be honest with each other. I think this is the one reason that relationships don't work out. We're not honest with one another. What do we do?
When you say honest with ourselves, do you mean becoming aware of our own feelings so that we understand what's motivating us?
Absolutely. When I first meet a person, I want to get into a relationship. One of the first questions I say is, what's your worst quality? I don't want to hear about all the wonderful things you do. I want to hear about the worst, because then I know if I can handle it or not. And I give my worst. I'm impatient. I'm a workaholic. If you can handle that, that's great. And if you can't, well, we won't waste each other's time. People don't know who they are. It's all about ego.
Well, I do believe that that is actually true, is that more of us need to think about being authentic. But so many people as children, they didn't have their feelings mirrored back to them by their parents. So they're not even aware of what they're feeling. They're looking at these behaviors they're doing and they're saying, why did I do that? What was I thinking? But the truth is, it was motivated by a feeling, an emotion that came first. But you're right. Although in my next segment, after I take the calls, I'm going to talk about how in the very early stages of dating, you're actually supposed to lie a little bit in certain categories. And Carol, I will explain. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank
you
for calling. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, producer Kayla, do we have anyone else or should I go to social media?
We have Giselle and she has a question.
Okay. Hi, Giselle. It's Dr. Wendy.
Hi, Dr. Wendy Walsh. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hopefully I can do a little better after receiving some of your advice.
How can I help you? I'll do my best.
All right. So a few weeks ago, my husband and I, we went to my cousin's wedding and we had a wonderful time as guests. We got to see old family members that we have not been able to see for a while. Mm. We got together, dance, party. It was just a great social event. Now that we're both vaccinated, we could let our guard down a little bit and just be the family with no worries. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, a few days later after the wedding, he started to feel sick. And mm-hmm. as a precaution, we went and got tested and he ended up being positive and my test came back negative. Mm-hmm. So we quarantined around the house and we had separate quarters. And now that he has experienced COVID, my best friend's wedding is coming up and I am in it. And he's very adamant about not attending, which I totally respect his mm-hmm. feelings and opinions.
Right.
But
and
now,
is he trying to tell you, you can't be in the wedding?
Yes. And this is my best friend. And she was, of course, in my wedding. We still keep in close contact. We talk about like once every 2 to 3 weeks. And
okay, let me ask you a couple things. Are you and your husband both vaccinated?
Yes, we both were vaccinated.
So he had a breakthrough case. Were his symptoms manageable? I mean, he got sick, but he wasn't hospitalized.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And so how would you feel if you offered him a compromise, which is I'll wear a double mask at the wedding? Would you do that?
I would do that. However, being in the wedding, I just don't know how my best friend would feel if, because she knows the situation, but just in the pictures and everything of the ceremony of wearing the double mask, going down the aisle and being present with her.
Well, I think it'll be a great story for her grandchildren. Look, I got married during a pandemic. Look at how my bridesmaid is, right? And so I think that part of being part of history and doing the social protocols that are part of history kind of add to it. And I think that, you know, your husband has just gone through COVID. If you heard the beginning of the show, I'm at my kitchen table right now because my teenager is in her bedroom with a positive COVID test.
So
even though I came out negative, who knows, you know, and I don't want to expose anybody at KFI. So we're back to where we were, right?
Yeah.
Although we're not, most of us are not back to life and death. But here's the main thing. There are people out there who are really vulnerable. We're talking about small children who can't get vaccines. We're talking about people who are have health issues and they can't get the vaccine. And we need to protect them. And so I, you know, I'm here speaking for your husband and I'm saying, wear the double mask. So I would say that's step one, is go to him and say, if I promise to keep a double mask on, except when I'm sipping a glass of champagne for the toast and I turn my head, would you consent to that? But, you know, he has a right to protect himself. And I think these kinds of negotiations have been going on for the last 16 months in all kinds of households. It's ironic because it's usually the opposite. The woman saying, you need to be more protective. And the guy's going, I'm not going to get a vaccine. I'm fine. I'm invincible. So we have the opposite. But I think you need to have a big conversation with him and you need to find a compromise. Thank you so much for calling, Giselle. Producer Kayla, do we have anybody else?
We do. We have Dave with a question.
Dave. Hi, Dave. It's Dr. Wendy. Dave, are you there?
Hello?
Hi, Dave. It's Dr. Wendy.
Hi, doctor. How
you got a question?
Doing? Yes, I had a question. So when you were talking about, like the monkeys and the males feeding, I just had a question. Well, as far as for guys, how does it break down? Like where, you know, is it maybe when men cheat, is it maybe an impulse problem or a, maybe even a mental disorder problem where they're like addicted to maybe like sex or like addicted to that affection from many different women?
Well, this is an excellent question, Dave, and I'm so glad you asked it. So the research, the vast majority of research on married men who cheat, when they ask why you cheated, surprisingly is that they say they cheated for, ladies, listen, emotional reasons. That their wife was no longer paying attention to them. Their wife no longer could see them. So it was less actually about the physical attention that they needed and much more about somebody just being excited by them again. So that's an important thing for people in marriages to understand that you have to continue to value your relationship. You have to continue to add novelty. Now, when I was talking about physically, how, you know, men with larger scrotum, higher testosterone tend to cheat more and have more rocky relationships. Again, biology isn't destiny. Like there's a guy out there with giant gonads and full of testosterone who is so thinking. He puts his brain to it and says, no, I'm not going to deal with it. Now, you mentioned something else, impulse control, and I would add to that sensation seeking. There are certain kinds of personality types. So the first thing I was talking about was emotional needs. The second thing has to do with physical hormones. And the third thing has to do with personality type. There are some people that are just sensation seeking, and they have such rocky relationships because they get bored very easily and they need a new stimulation and they get excited very easily. Now, I think the most important thing from all this science is that you need to just figure out who you are and what kind of promises you can make to a woman. And you need to figure out what kind of, you know, relationships are best for you. And you need to also understand if you're vulnerable to cheating, stay off the DMs on Instagram, stay off dating apps, don't go to social situations unless your wife's with you. I mean, there are men out there who take extra precautions because they know who they are. And they want to be loyal to their wives, right? So it's all about understanding who we are, what our vulnerabilities are, and never waving the card like, oh, I'm sorry, I just have the cheater gene. Sorry, not my fault, right? That's not what we're talking about here, because every human being makes conscious decisions about their behavior. For some people, it's easier than others. Like, for instance, people who are naturally slim and can eat whatever they want, they don't have to worry. And then there are other people who need to really watch what they eat in life. Same kind of thing when it comes to fidelity. So Dave, thank you so much for asking that question, because I think it's really important. If anybody else has a question, you can give me a call. The number is 1-800-520-1KFI. That's 1-800-520-1534. You're listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show, a special three-hour edition on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay?
KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you for a special three-hour edition of the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. And right now I'm taking your calls. The number is 1-800-520-1KFI. That's 1-800-520-1534. Okay, producer Kayla, who do we have next?
We have Jacob. He has a question.
Okay. Hi, Jacob. It's Dr. Wendy.
Hi, Dr. Wendy. Thanks for taking my question. So I've been in a relationship for 5 years with my boyfriend. Things have been going great. But recently, he's been interested in opening up the relationship. And I'm open to it. I'm a little bit nervous about it, but I am open to it. And I wanted to ask, how would I go about navigating being open to that while making sure that I don't open myself up to a situation where I'm open to the idea if it's just sexual, but my concern is, you know, feelings get stronger. And I just wonder how to potentially navigate and have that, conversation with my boyfriend, in a way where he doesn't feel like I'm not open to it.
Jacob, first of all, you are not the first gay man to talk about opening up their relationship. And it is something that same-sex partners, especially male same-sex partners, are often confronted with and negotiating, partly because we do know that men can separate sex from feelings a lot easier than women. Now, when I say that, I have to be careful, because not all men. There are plenty of men who just fall in love through sex, and that's your fear, right? That he's going to catch feelings somewhere and you're going to lose him. And
correct.
So I think what you need to do is have really frank discussions about what the parameters are. So for instance, I have heard stories of people who say, well, we have a rule that they can't have sex with somebody who's in our social circle. So you're not going to, you know, have it in your face. You're not going to worry about running into him, etc. Some other people have rules that they say you can have sex with somebody outside of our relationship if it's only one time. You can't have sex two times with the same person because then, you know, the relationship building could happen. And of course, you want to make very clear rules about condom use and safe sexual practices, right? And then if you have a very normal response, which is sexual jealousy, you don't want to let that fester. You don't want to let it build it up. You want to talk about it. You want to express your feelings. And I think also saying something like, let's try it for a short period of time. Now, one of the things that'll happen in a relationship like yours that opens up is one person is a sort of a higher value mate out there in the marketplace, and they'll get access to more partners than the other one. And so somebody feels like, hey, I'm not getting as much attention, and they are. So you need to have enough intimacy to discuss all of these things. It's a little risky, but if you want to add a little spice, I'm not going to say no. Okay, Jacob? Thank you for calling. All right, who do we have next? Hi, Terry. Terry, it's Dr. Wendy.
Hi, yes, this is Terry.
Hi, Terry. What's your question?
Well, I'm a little frustrated. Me and my husband have been married for over 30 years, 30
congratulations.
32. Thank you. But we've been having some trouble in the past couple of years, and I feel like he's not trying as hard as I am to make things better so we can continue, so we can go on.
And you know, how would you describe this trouble?
Well, it's a really long story. So we lived together with the kids and got married and the whole thing all along, and I got frustrated with the way things were, and I felt like I was going to get sick, and, you know, stressed out a lot. Mm. And I would go to him and tell him that how I felt, and he would ignore me or tell me I'd get over it, or, you know, didn't want to discuss what was going on or what was wrong. So I ended up telling him that I wanted to sell the house that and move separately. You know, the kids are grown, kids are moved out. Mm-hmm. So I sold the home. We went halfers on everything. We both bought something. And he happened to buy something in the same city I wanted to buy something in. But we're still married.
You stayed married, but you live in separate places. And are you negotiating?
Now we're dating.
Now you're dating other people, or you're dating each other?
No, each other.
Aww.
Yeah, we're dating each other because, you know, and at the beginning, it was great. I mean, he was opening the door for me, and I was trying harder to cook or do whatever it was that he needed and just to help out. And, you know, yeah, I mean, when he got his place, I helped him move in. When I got my place, he helped me move in. And
And how many years has it been this way?
About three.
3 years. Okay, so Terry, you know, first of all, I want to applaud the creativity that you guys have both used to sort of add some interest, excitement, novelty, and not get divorced, right? Because there are plenty of people who stay undivorced in separate houses because they do love each other. But once the kids are grown, as you mentioned, there's sort of this, you know, wanting to do things like wanting your needs taken care of, wanting to grow as an individual, but not necessarily divorce. But I'm wondering if 3 years later that this kind of trial separation was actually just that, sort of a practice for what would divorce feel like. So I want you to explore your feelings. I mean, I would really suggest that you go to a therapist to talk through all your feelings around this, because it's not about getting him to behave in a certain way. It's about figuring out what your needs are and where they can best be met. But thank you so much for calling. I'm sorry you're going through this, Terry, but wow, this is a really creative solution. I kind of like it. You are listening. I'm taking your calls. Do we have time for another caller when we come back? Right, Kayla? We have some on the line. Okay. 1-800-520-1534. You're listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. The number is 1-800-520-1534. I am taking your relationship calls. Producer Kayla, who do we have on the line?
We have Steve. He has a question.
Okay. Hi, Steve. It's Dr. Wendy.
Hi, Dr. Walsh. Thanks for taking my call. First time caller. So I'm 5 years into a relationship.
Uh-huh.
We met in an airport. We conversed on email for about 3 months. She moved about 800 miles, moved in with me.
Wow.
After 3 months, I realized there were trust and honesty issues with her. I moved her out. She came back 3 months later. We stayed together for a year, and now we're on our third move out. So I guess my question is, will things ever change? Or
nope.
When she comes back the third time, should I just tell her that it's over and I just can't deal with the issues in the past? I know that I listened to you a couple of weeks ago with your advice on the attachment styles. I took the assessment, and I came up as a secure attachment style, which I was pleased to see. So I'm not
saying
she's got
an anxious style, I'll betcha.
I'm sorry?
And she has an anxious attachment style, you think?
Well, I don't know. It certainly isn't secure, that's for sure. She can lie to your face and then lie on top of a lie on top of a lie. And I know that it's her childhood where she was abused as a child by her dad. And and she finds it's easier to lie to stay out of trouble than to admit the truth.
Yeah. Well, you can't have a relationship with that. Okay. So first of all, you made a valiant effort. You made a rookie mistake by having her move in with you after only knowing her for a few months, but that's okay. But you did make a valiant effort. This pattern that you guys have set up is probably going to continue. So I would only add one caveat. If you allow her to move back in with you, you have to tell her that it can only happen if she goes to couples therapy with you at least once a week for 6 months. Because that's the only way.
Oh, you did. No,
you've already tried therapy? Uh-huh.
No, I did that. I had two separate counselors. We had them from January to March, and the assessments were that she had personality disorders. One was a dependent personality disorder, mm-hmm. and the other, there wasn't enough analysis. But they both told me the same thing. I would not take her back the third time. What you've done is condition her. I think there's no end to coming back.
Well, you know what, Steve? She's not my client. You are right now. well, at least I'm just giving you free advice on the phone as a friend. And I would say, listen to those professionals and move on. Don't have her back in. There's lots of fish in the sea. In fact, there's a website called Plenty of Fish. You can find a new one. Thanks for calling, Steve. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry you're going through this, though. I know it's painful. Okay, Kayla, who do we have next?
We have Brian.
Wonderful. Hi, Brian. It's Dr. Wendy.
Hi, Dr. Wendy. Thank you
for
taking my call.
Oh, I'm happy to.
Oh, my goodness. I am in a 11-year boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. Girlfriend mm-hmm. lives with me. Mm-hmm. And I am at my wit's end. I have no idea what to do. She's a compulsive shopper and hoarder.
Oh.
And it developed worse and worse and worse over time, and to where I've begged, bargained, we've fought, I've threatened to have her out of the house. Every single avenue I've tried multiple times, and absolutely nothing changes. She's filled my daughter's room with her stuff, my garage, storage unit. It's everywhere.
Okay, so first of all, Brian, I know what you're experiencing. I'm a less is more kind of neat freak, and I lived with a hoarder once, and it was so bad that I took my closet, which is a walk-in closet in the bedroom, and I took everything out, and I painted it all white, and I sat in there on the floor and just felt relief. Until I put everything back.
I feel what you're feeling. I haven't used it in 6 months to a year, it usually finds its way to charity or in the trash.
Exactly. So I will say this, just to have a little compassion for her. We had a specialist on the show a couple months ago, a colleague of mine who teaches at Cal State Channel Islands, who just done a big paper on compulsive hoarding. And it is a form of OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. So as much as your anxiety, and I know your anxiety hurts to walk through a cluttered space, her anxiety can't stop her from hoarding. So the answer is, it's not your job to heal her. It's not your job to fix her. It's not your job to put your needs aside. It's up to her to take responsibility for herself and to go to therapy and probably get on some medication, to be honest. And so I would give her an ultimatum to this end, because you guys are only like heading towards the end. You know, my favorite metaphor for this is if you're walking across a bridge and you meet somebody who says, hey, do you mind if you hold this rope for me? And you take the end of the rope and then they jump off the bridge. How long are you going to stand there holding the rope? And that's what you're doing.
True.
You're holding that rope, and how long can you tolerate it, right?
But
you're either going to have to go down with her, or you're going to let go of it. So I'm so sorry you're going through this, Brian. I know your pain, and I also have empathy for her pain, but she needs to get herself fixed. Thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it. Okay, Kayla, do we have anyone else?
Yes.
Am I moving on to social? Okay.
No, we have John. He has something to say to you.
Okay. Hi, John. It's Dr. Wendy.
Hi, Dr. Wendy. I hear you addressing men as being chronic cheaters, but I didn't hear you say anything about women that are chronic cheaters, because in my personal experience, I've noticed no more wives who have cheated on their husbands than husbands who have cheated on their wives.
Excellent question. And I didn't use the word chronic ever. So I just said that men who are more likely to cheat tend to be higher testosterone. They tend to be seeking emotional connection, and they tend to be sensation seekers. But the same can apply to women. I was going to say not necessarily the testosterone, but then I stopped myself because there are about 4% of women who have super high testosterone and are, you know, love to have frequent new partners. I will say that the data on cheating is still that men cheat more often than women. It's It's just that that's the way men are wired. I mean, I know it's politically incorrect to say, but the science backs me up here that men want more sex than women do. And so what happens in long-term monogamy is men are trying to figure out how to get their wife to be more interested in sex. And one option for them, of course, is to cheat. But yes, there are women who cheat and even some who cheat frequently. But the reasons that women cheat are very different than the reasons why men cheat. The most common reason that women cheat is actually they're shopping for a new partner. They're looking for a bridge relationship. They're trying to get out. That is far more common than, oh, I'm just going to go and bounce around and have some fun and then come home. And it's just physical. Women are a little more shopping when it comes to that. But thank you for bringing that up. Yes, as much a women's thing as a men's thing. Thank you, John. Okay. Whew. All the questions. How much time do I have left? And are there any more calls or should I go to... Oh, good. Can I go to social or Kayla, do you have...
We actually have Mr. Mike. He called with a question for you.
Another... the guys tonight.
They love
Hello,
you.
Hello, Mike. It's Dr. Wendy.
Yes, hi, there. Hi, there. My question is, after 23 years of marriage, my wife don't feel special sexually. Mm-hmm. At one point in her early life, she was told that by former boyfriends, and she still brings that up. Why?
She brings up the fact that she does not feel special.
That's correct.
And because she's telling you it's your responsibility to make her feel that way?
Well, she's telling me she doesn't feel special when I think she is. And she brings that up that she doesn't feel that way because of her previous relationship.
And is it impacting you, the frequency of sex, or how has it changed? If she's always said this for 23 years, what's changed now?
She hasn't said it for 23 years. She brought it up after 23 years.
Oh, fascinating.
Right now, her libido is lost. I thought it was based on a hysterectomy, but...
How old is she?
Libido, 72.
Yeah. So let me say this, that at a certain age, hormones rule. And the good news is, you know, there's lots of medical interventions. Now, I have a PhD in clinical psychology, so I help people navigate the terrain of their psychological relationships and their attachment. So it is unethical for me to give medical advice, but I will say this, there's lots of treatments for both you and her if you cared to reach out to the medical community so that you could get more functionality. But the question you're asking me really feels more emotional. That there's something going on with her right now. And I would actually venture to guess that her hormones may have declined. And the biggest impact of this is depression because it's lowering her self-esteem. So I would have her begin with her regular doctor and maybe even ask for a referral to a therapist, or you guys want to do some couples therapy because, you know, relationships take work and they change across the lifespan as our bodies change and our needs change. And it's really important that we stay on top of this so that we can stay connected. So Mike, thank you so much for calling. And thank you everybody who's been calling and with such a range of questions this week. It's amazing. We still have a whole hour. We're going until 7 o'clock tonight on the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. So I may open up the lines a little later, but there's so much stuff I want to get to. For instance, is a little lying okay at the beginning of a relationship? Yes, and I'll explain. And also, if you're in a relationship, how to have better, healthier fights. I've got some tips for you. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Help me, please, doctor, I'm damaged. There's a pain where there once was a heart.
KFI AM 640, you have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. I can't thank all you people enough for your amazing phone calls. I don't want to make light of the fact that what we go through in our most intimate relationships can be some of the most painful things in our life. And it can impact our health. It can impact our mental health. And so this is why I do what I do. I want everyone to understand the game of love, to understand themselves better, to forgive themselves if they have a challenging attachment style, and to also have more empathy for their partners, because, you know, love is not for the faint of heart, right? So one thing that I hear a lot is, well, in order to have a healthy relationship, you have to be honest. You can't lie. But there is an exception. And that is at the very, very beginning of a relationship. Remember I told you that human mating strategy first involves competition for mates, meaning same-sex competition. So women compete against women, men compete against men, and women do it to try to look younger and sexier, and men try to look richer and more powerful. And that is part of the mating game. Now, after that, you have to attract a mate, right? You have to get someone to click on you. Now we have dating apps to do that. It used to be you just walked through a singles bar and caught somebody's eye, but now they want more information than just the looks, right? So what men do, for instance, to compete against other men on dating apps is they showcase muscles and money. You know, there's research to show that they made a bunch of fake profiles. This was in the UK, of men. And some of them cited military service that included active duty. Others cited military service that was just like on a base typing data, whatever. And others showed no military service. And who got the most clicks, the most swipe rights? The ones with the military service. Now, caveat, gentlemen, if you're listening to me from a military base, we don't like those guns. I'm not talking about your biceps. I'm talking about the actual hardware. Women tell me all the time that men actually put pictures of them holding guns in a profile picture. Now, women also know that when there is a gun in the house, it is less often used for a woman to protect herself and more often used against her, even if it's her own gun. The statistics are there, folks. We don't like men with guns. It freaks us out at the beginning. We're scared. I mean, look it. Every man's worst fear is that a woman will laugh at him. And every woman's worst fear is that a man will kill her. Okay? That's real. So keep the guns away, but mention your military service. All good. Now, here's what men lie about on dating apps. They lie about their height. They lie about how much money they have and how much power they have. That's why men will put, like, if you look on dating apps, every man is a president, a vice president, a CEO, a senior VP, a founder. Even if he's a trash collector, his status will say lead sanitation engineer. Uh-huh. So this is what men do. Women, on the other hand, we lie about body weight and age. So the biggest mistake that women make, of course, is putting, if they have a hot body, too many body shots, because then you're telling a man that's all you're into is sex. They use too many beauty filters. Men report women wear too much makeup in their shots. And women are often not clear about their relationship goals. They just put themselves out there as a pretty little thing. And then they don't say, like, I'm actually looking to for a commitment-oriented relationship. I'd like to have kids someday, whatever. But there's some things men do wrong, too, in their dating apps. And I'll explain when we come back, because, guys, you really need to listen to me on this. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Mark Ronner's got the news for us.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.